Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, energy credits, help for renters and those with mortgages. Budget day is fast approaching, but what should the government spend its money on? We debate. Ireland's rugby team is in France, settling in ahead of the World Cup. But what about the opposition, Murray Kinsella, on the teams Ireland will face in the opening stages? Over 500,000 adults are living with their parents, and for many, that has implications when it comes to dating. Brian O'Connell reports. The dog breeds that are designed to be fashionable and designed to be unhealthy. Dog behaviour expert Kathleen Murray will be with us. Artificial intelligence is coming for your job. That's what they say. So is the trick to find a job that AI cannot do? Text us on 51551 this morning, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. Well, as we heard in the headlines, today is a national slowdown day with Gardaí out across the country to enforce road traffic laws amid what they say is an alarming increase in road deaths. This also comes as government is set to change the current penalty point system so that motorists who commit more than one offence will be hit with cumulative points instead of only the most serious offence being taken into account. Well, I'm joined on the line now by David Staunton, barrister specialising in road traffic law on both the prosecution and the defence side, and also independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray. And you're both welcome this morning. David, I want to start with you on this penalty point change. First of all, will you explain the background? So people currently only get points, don't they, for the most serious offence committed?
That's the position. Good morning, Claire. The position is that under the Road Traffic Act 2002, if a person commits multiple offences on the same occasion, only one set of points is then endorsed on your licence. So for example, you could be speeding but also not have an NCT, both of which are independently separate penalty point offences. But if you make a payment prior to going to court or you are convicted in court, only one set of points is endorsed on your licence.
And why is that the case, do you think?
I think the rationale when the Road Traffic Act 2002 came into being was that a person might have reasonably minor indiscretions at certain points in time, and it could lead to a very speedy accumulation of 12 points and ultimately disqualification. And I think it was deemed to be a fairer system that you'd only be penalised for one of the offences, which might be committed on the same occasion, rather than a person being at risk of being disqualified for what might be moderately minor offending. And I think that was the rationale at the time.
Okay, but in the context of what's about to change, that rationale, that logic still exists. So someone could potentially be put off the road pretty quickly if this were to change.
That is the position. A person, say, for instance, could take an illegal turn. They might have an NCT because they, or no NCT because they're waiting on a date. They might have something very minor wrong with their car, or something else reasonably minor, and they could accumulate points very quickly. And in fact, if they didn't pay the notice prior to going to court, because the penalty points are increased at the point at which you are convicted in court, a person could be disqualified arising out of one incident.
Mm-hmm. Now, everything seems to be up for examination, and looking as a whole at our road traffic laws, David, what do you think needs to change? Where do you see the key weaknesses?
I think there is a clear and very tangible disconnect between enforcement and then ultimately convictions and prosecutions in court. I think the Road Traffic Act, and it has been said on many occasions in the last number of decades, is too complex. It does not allow for the proper and effective prosecution of certain types of offences, and the Road Traffic Act in truth needs to probably be ripped up and simplified to a large extent, so that when Gardaí are on the beat detecting people who are committing offences, if they are detected, when it comes to court, there is an ultimate outcome of a conviction.
Yeah, because we hear a lot about there not being enough guards out on enforcement duties. But are you saying that even when those guards are out there and they detect people doing something they shouldn't be doing on the roads, that a successful prosecution is very difficult to get?
Well, I suppose I wouldn't want to oversimplify to say that there are not enough guards or lacking in enforcement. Clearly, there are situations whereby there are greater enforcement levels would dictate greater results or increased results in terms of convictions. However, when the case does come to court, there is absolutely no doubt. And I think anyone who is in practice, anyone who has been in court over the last number of decades will see that often cases fall because of the manner by which the legislation has been drafted, and the courts are effectively bound to dismiss prosecutions because of needlessly complex and technical provisions, which generally serve no purpose. They don't increase the fair trial rights of a person, and they're simply ill thought out in terms of how they are drafted, and ultimately then when it comes to court, that's the consequence.
And David, can I ask you, when it comes to court, is it the guard who's under the pressure in the courtroom to get it right?
Broadly speaking, it is in essence, a Garda is required to give evidence as to what occurred in a case. It could often be the case that the guard has in fact done everything as they are required on the roadside in a Garda station. However, when it comes to court, they may not say what is appropriate or required to be said because of the way the legislation has been drafted, or there might be an absence of statutory presumptions in their favour, and a case may fall because a guard makes a very minor mistake, even though they may well have done it. And achieved all the statutory purpose at the time.
They have to use very specific language in court.
That is an unfortunate feature of the trial process, whereby it is based on the evidence that is elicited by the guard orally in court, as distinct from what they did or did not in fact do at the time.
Okay, now the use of mobile phones, is that a big problem at the moment in your experience?
I would see a drastic increase in offending connected to mobile phone use. And that's not necessarily people being prosecuted for the use of mobile phones, but it's very serious accidents where one can see that a mobile phone has been used. And in more serious cases that I might be involved in, the Gardaí are now able to use various pieces of software to analyse the phone to see whether it was being used, not simply texting, but whether or not people were doing other things on a phone where it was in use at the time. And it's now much more easier to detect that. And you can see a drastic increase in that in the last number of years.
Now, last week on the programme, we spoke both to the Road Safety Authority and to the Gardaí about speed vans. Do you think we'd be better off with more average speed cameras or fixed cameras rather than the mobile GoSafe vans that we have at the moment?
I think the introduction of the average speed camera, particularly in the M7 near Bird Hill, is a very progressive step, because it is a much more equitable way of detecting whether a person's driving has been bad or in excess of the speed over a longer period. And in my own experience, having driven that road, I see people slowing down and behaving in a much more responsible way, because they will set their speed below the speed limit and then consistently drive over that area for a much longer time. I mean, obviously, when a person is driving on a motorway, I think it's fair to say a person could, because of lapse of minor concentration, exceed the speed limit. And that may not necessarily be reflective of their overall driving behavior. And I think an average speed camera is a much better way of modifying and moderating the speed of people who actually then generally behave over a longer period of time in a much more responsible mm-hmm. way. And I think that that average speed camera system is a very progressive way of dealing with detections.
All right. And of course, other drivers can't warn you about an average speed camera in the way that they do
precisely.
When there's a go say fan on the road. Stay there, David, precisely. If you will. I want to bring in Michael Healy-Ray, listening to all of this, independent TD for Kerry. And thank you for joining us, Michael. You believe, am I right, that there's a lot more to safety than just dealing with speeding, mobile phones and so on. So what would you like to see happen, particularly in rural areas?
I do, Claire. And first of all, in any debate like this or discussion, we have to acknowledge and just say how sorry I am to all of the families who have lost their loved relatives over the last, in particularly number of weeks, there have been harrowing events on our roads. And we're so sorry for that. And we have to acknowledge that when we're having a discussion like
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Could I just say that I'm not coming on this morning being critical of governments or ministers or individuals or the RSA, but what I'm saying is, even this morning, the reaction and the Taoiseach saying, oh yes, more penalty points, more enforcement. The first thing I would say is, we've done all that already. We've doubled fines, we've increased penalty points, the speed vans are more evident than ever before. Remember, there was at the very beginning, there was no such thing as a speed van on the motorways, and indeed the actual locations that they're at now, for instance, going to towns and villages where it's like shooting fish in a barrel, there was none of that before, Claire, and mm-hmm. there is now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying the evidence of people being detected, it's a lot more in your face now than it ever was before, but it's still not working. So what I'm saying, and when I'm being critical of myself as a TD above and the doll, I'm saying we are not doing enough. We are failing the people. And these are some of the suggestions that I've been making for a long time now. And I'd ask that government might please start listening, because I've put this to ministers for transportation, ministers for education. For example, when a child goes into secondary school, in first, second and third year, learning the theory of road safety and being a good driver, it should be actually on the curriculum. Mm-hmm. In transition year and in leaving cert, I would hope that we would have an aim that a student would leave school with in one hand their leaving certificate and in the other hand their driver's license. That, in other words, you'd have that job of work done. You'd have successfully passed your test and you would be a competent, safe and well-educated driver before you'd actually leave school. I think that would be great.
Yes, but that concedes that there are unsafe drivers on the roads who are perhaps going too fast and using their mobile phone, and that they are that is a problem.
No, what I'm doing is I'm trying to get the net to be broadened when it comes to road safety. There are other, what I would call, less glamorous things that are involved here, but nobody's talking about. You never hear the Taoiseach coming out and saying this. You would never hear a Minister for Transport saying it. But I'm going to say it too. There are causes of accidents. And I'll give you an example. There is no good reason in this world why every hedge in this country that is on the side of a public road should not be cut at least once a year. That immediately would have an effect in every road that you're travelling on, because you would be able to keep in nearer to the ditch. When you'd be going around turns, you'd have more of sight lines. It would just lead to better road safety if the hedges were cut back. That's number one. Number two, ponding of water on our roads. There was a thing in every engineer area long ago called a section man. That man was involved in that he had so many miles of road in his area that he was responsible for keeping the gullets open, keeping the water off the road. It might only be a rub of the heel of a shoe or a shovel that would take the water off the road. That was done away with many, many years ago. That should be brought back. And in other words, every section of road should be tended to make sure the water was being kept off of it. These are simple measures. They wouldn't cost the sun, moon and stars, but it would make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Another issue which has caused the accidents. And again, nobody wants to talk about it, Claire, for fear they'd offend somebody. Well, I'm not afraid of offending anybody. I'm not afraid of being politically incorrect, because if I think a thing is true, I'll say it. We have to shoot and eliminate more deer from the deer population in Ireland, because at the moment, they're certainly, I know in County Kerry, they're certainly the cause of many, many accidents and have indeed led to fatalities on our roads. And unfortunately, a lot of this is going out.
We've talked about deer culls on this programme, and the problem seems to be, from what I've heard, that when you go in and shoot them, you shoot the wrong ones and they tend to overbreed.
No, Claire, look, this is very simple and very straightforward. The deer population has been allowed to explode over the last 20 years. And we need a radical call at this stage to radically reduce the amount of deer that are roaming onto our roads and causing accidents. And by its very nature, sometimes you have the strikes, but then, well, an awful lot of the time, but then other times you have a case of people swerving and being involved in accidents, and it could be a fatality, and there's nobody to tell the story and to explain exactly what has happened.
Okay.
So these are bigger things that we need to look at, just to broaden the horizon of what we're looking at as being causes of accidents on our roads, because whatever we're doing at present is
not working. Can I ask you about speed cameras? Because you heard David there talking about the Go Safe vans. You don't think that they work. He thinks that the average speed cameras, that they do a better job of detecting people and also influencing how people behave on the road. Because you know yourself, you meet somebody on the road, they flash the lights at you, you know you're coming up to a speed van and you slow down, then you can pick up your speed once you're past it. You can't do that with the average speed cameras. Do you think we should have more of them?
Well, like, we certainly have a lot more of speed vans now than we had before. The averaging speed cameras, if that was to be tested out, we've seen where they are rolled out and they are effective, and if it makes people become more conscious. But the biggest issue that I see at present, our cars are safer than ever before because of crumpled zones and because of airbags and all of that. There was one time you had to buy a certain make of a car from Sweden to have crash bars and all that sort of thing inside it. Now every car has those safety measures. But at the same time, more than ever, when we have accidents, the accidents are actually leading to fatalities. So we have to look at what is the cause of that. So look at everything. Look at the measures that we have to take on our roads. Look at the education. Start at an early age and try and get it into our minds that every young person who's going to school today, the very vast majority, probably 95% of them, will finish up driving a car in the future. So why not help them now from an early age?
Yeah,
why not look at the bigger issues
seems
that
like
are
a
there?
Reasonable
and why
suggestion.
Don't we hear yes, and why don't we hear a minister coming out tomorrow morning and saying, yes, every local authority, every engineering district in the country should have their own tractor, their own hedge cutter, and 6 days a week, 8 or 10 hours a day, year in, year out, because the birds aren't stupid, they don't build their nests on the edge of the road like some people think they do. They should be cutting hedges and ensuring that our roads are kept nice and trim. Don't we cut the hedges in our own gardens, in our own back lawns? Why shouldn't the local authority cut the hedges on the side of the public road?
I want to come back to David Staunton because I have a message here from a listener. How can the guards, David, determine whether a phone was being held in hand or through a hands-free mechanism? Isn't the law different, says this listener, for each of those?
Yes, there is software that is now used effectively once if a phone is taken at the following an accident. There's specific software. There's no need for me to name the software. I don't want to be promoting the name of the software, but it's a particular brand of software that is used that can tell whether or not the phone has been active. And it is quite commonly used across the board to tell. And obviously, it is not without imperfections, but it has a very sophisticated way of saying whether smartphone safety was being used.
But David, are you currently permitted in law to watch videos on your phone in the car while driving?
Well, yes and no. In the sense that you are... under Section 3 of the Road Traffic Act 2006, which governs the use of a mobile phone, you cannot hold a mobile phone or text or use it in a way that involves you being distracted. However, even if you weren't holding the phone and say, for instance, it was in a cradle, you are still obligated under the Road Traffic Act to drive with due care and attention or not to drive dangerously. So you cannot simply say, oh, well, I have it in a cradle or I have it supported in some other way, and then with no regard to the road ahead, use the phone. You are still obligated to pay careful attention under Section 52, which is careless driving. So it's not a carte blanche to simply say, well, I'm not holding it, therefore I'm not committing an offence. That's simply not correct.
All right, David, thank you very much. David Staunton there, barrister specialising in prosecuting and defending road traffic cases and independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray. Now, the budget is coming. What should the government spend its money on? We'll discuss that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.